Good morning. It's Tuesday, February 25th. I'm Beth Golay, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. When writing her novel, Sophie Madeline Dess had to really get to know her characters, and some of them could be bossy.
Her intention is always, I think, you have to get people to see themselves correctly. That's what I mean when I say, or I guess when I think, that she has that kind of arrogance. She's like, I know how to do it. Let me do it. That feeling is definitely in her.
Dess talks to me about her debut, What You Make of Me, after the news. Today is election day for the Wichita School District bond issue. Voters will decide whether to approve a $450 million bond issue for Wichita Public Schools. The money would finance new construction and update older buildings in the district. Registered voters who live within the Wichita School District boundaries are eligible to cast a ballot. Polls open at 7 a.m. People must vote at their assigned polling location before 7 this evening. Mail ballots must be postmarked today or taken to a polling site. Voters can find their polling location at sedgwickcounty.org/elections. Two candidates have filed to run for the District 1 seat on the Wichita City Council. Joseph Shepard and LaWanda DeShazer are both running to replace incumbent Brandon Johnson. He's prohibited by law from running for a third term. Shepard is past chairman of the Sedgwick County Democratic Party. He is currently chief of staff for Lead for America, a program designed to build the next generation of leaders. DeShazer formerly worked for Sedgwick County. She's involved in the NAACP and is a longtime community activist. The filing deadline for candidates is June 2nd. With President Donald Trump's new FBI director in place, employees at local field offices are bracing for possible layoffs. Sam Zeff looked into what that could mean for Kansas.
There are about 100 agents at the FBI office in Kansas City that covers all of Kansas and western Missouri. If the administration fires agents, Johnson County Sheriff Byron Robeson says, local crime fighting will be damaged.
It will severely hamper the ability of local law enforcement to do their job.
Local police and deputies work hand in hand with FBI agents on task forces like the Joint Terrorism Task Force. In the last 10 years, terrorism task force members have foiled bomb plots at Fort Riley, the Wichita Airport, and a plot to bomb a mosque in Garden City. I'm Sam Zeff.
Students and staff at Haskell Indian Nations University are still reeling after President Donald Trump's administration cut nearly a quarter of the college's workforce. Daniel Cottle of the Kansas News Service reports.
Haskell and Lawrence community members gathered at a church to learn the latest news and offer help to the university. Days prior, the Trump administration terminated 35 employees at Haskell, which is funded and operated by the federal government. The four-year school in Lawrence is for American Indians and was founded based on treaties between tribes in the U.S. in the 1800s. Angel Auton-Elzars is president of student government at Haskell.
Haskell was built in 140 years. You know, this isn't something that just happened in a day, and it's not something that will collapse in a day.
Speakers at the event say Haskell is looking at fundraising to rehire people through its foundation, a nonprofit independent of the feds. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Daniel Cottle.
Federal data shows Kansas has some of the highest influenza activity in the nation. Beck Shackelford-Wongonga of the Kansas News Service has more.
Flu activity in Kansas, Nebraska, and 8 other states is very high, the highest level of classification by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Amanda Applegate with the Immunize Kansas Coalition says most people are getting sick with influenza A strain of the virus that causes severe illness and can be deadly.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure across the board. By far and above, the best thing you can do to protect yourself from influenza is getting a flu shot.
Applegate says a flu shot does not always mean you won't get the flu, but it does mean you'll have a much better chance of avoiding hospitalization or severe illness. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford-Wongonga.
Kansas lawmakers will once again consider transferring ownership of a significant historical site in Johnson County out of the state's hands. Kyle Palmer reports.
Nearly 200 years ago, Native American families sent their children to a boarding school run by Methodists at the Shawnee Indian Mission in present-day Faraway. A Kansas House committee this week will discuss a bill that would transfer ownership of that roughly 12-acre site to the Shawnee tribe. Shawnee tribal leaders have long maintained that the mission site, which is under the control of Fairway and the state of Kansas, is deteriorating and needs millions of dollars worth of updating. Fairway officials oppose transferring ownership and have suggested, without direct evidence, that tribal leaders would develop the site, possibly into a casino.
That was Kyle Palmer reporting. The Kansas Army National Guard is getting a new commander. Brigadier General Carlin Williams will be sworn in Saturday as Assistant Kansas Adjutant General. In that role, he will oversee the Army National Guard, which traces its roots in Kansas to 1855. Williams will replace Brigadier General Anthony Mohat, who is retiring. Williams joined the military in 1996 and became part of the Kansas Army National Guard in 2007. The Adjutant General's Department oversees the state's Army and Air National Guards. It also leads the Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security Office. The National Weather Service will hold a statewide tornado drill next week. The exercise is part of Severe Weather Preparedness Week, which begins next Monday. The tornado drill is Wednesday, March 5th at 10 in the morning. Officials say it's a good time for people to practice the procedures they would use to take shelter during a storm. People who want to learn more about the weather can take a severe weather safety class from Sedgwick County Emergency Management. A list of when and where the classes will be offered is on the county's website. We'll be back after this.
Wichita Talks is back again this year. KMUW is partnering with the Wichita Public Library for the third year to present a series of five-minute presentations from 10 different speakers on the topic of breaking barriers. From overcoming impossible expectations to learning to live with an unexpected challenge, we want to hear from you. You can find more about this year's program and apply to be a speaker at kmuw.org.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Beth Golay. Sophie Madeline Dessa's novel, What You Make of Me, follows two tight-knit adult siblings, Dimitri and Ava, artists of very different mediums. I recently spoke with Dess about her debut. So when the book opens, we learn that Dimitri has a brain tumor and his sister Ava, who's a painter, is writing about him and their life together. What else should our listeners know about this book? Do you have like an elevator pitch for it?
So I would never have been able to write an elevator pitch for it, but luckily one has been written for me and I use it all the time, which is two siblings in a kind of fiercely codependent relationship contend with who and what they're willing to sacrifice for their art. That was the kind of copy that's been out there, that is out there. I would maybe add to that, there's a woman involved who they both are very interested in, and that complicates the dynamic between them. And overall, yeah, it definitely, those centers around these two siblings who you meet right in the beginning. And there is lots of kind of madness and obsession, but also hopefully a little bit of humor and fun involved throughout the novel.
So despite their closeness, Ava and Dimitri, they practice very different forms of art. Ava paints while Dimitri is a filmmaker and writer. Ava often considers the difference between these mediums as, you know, painting allows for interpretation while film and writing are almost too factual. And she's convinced that people want to see themselves through others' eyes, not how they really are. Ava thinks writing is an insufficient medium. Can you talk about this idea and maybe the push and pull between these philosophies throughout the book?
Yes, thank you. I think a lot about this because I am clearly writing. So any limits that Ava discusses are limits that I'm subjected to as a writer myself, that I think any writer is subjected to. But yeah, one of her main problems is when you write something down, there's no way to fully describe anything. Experiences are just go beyond language in every way. They're different phenomena. Experiencing something physically and emotionally, she gets so antsy at the fact that there's no proper way to properly describe something. And to try to reduce experience into language in writing is annoying to her. People who think that they can do it annoy her. And the only thing, as you so beautifully put, the only thing that allows for real interpretation and therefore real reality is painting, because that's much more irreducible. You look at a portrait of somebody, especially if it's a little bit more abstract, and you can never quite know it, or you can read a ton into it and all of those readings could be correct at the same time. Whereas a sentence can only kind of mean what the sentence means. These are her views. These are not necessarily my views. But those limits itch at her. And throughout the book, she plays with limits of perception. So she has to do kind of multiple variations of certain paintings to make sure she's getting at the ambiguity well enough. And sometimes she fails and sometimes she doesn't, but she knows what her project is, which is to represent what she sees in all of its unknowability. Like, it's that paradox, basically, that she loves.
You know, continuing with that idea, I noted so many nods to the title, the idea of what you make of someone. Ava is mostly interested in her interpretations of others, isn't she?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, she is. But again, I think it comes down to the fact that she thinks her interpretation of others will help them see themselves because her interpretation is so objective and absolute and has to do with like laws of beauty that she understands. And her intention is always, I think, yeah, to get people to see themselves correctly. That's what I mean when I say, or I guess when I think, that she has that kind of arrogance. She's like, I know how to do it. Let me do it. That feeling is definitely in her.
I want to talk about the structure of the book that you just mentioned, that it's basically a catalog for her show. Throughout the text, you know, I read and listen at the same time. Throughout the text, words or phrases had asterisks placed beside them, and then they were footnoted. And it wasn't like a typical footnote. It was the information of what would have been included in the catalog, in the show catalog. In the audiobook, the footnotes were presented like this.
When he paused what he was doing, when he looked at me and tilted his neck forward without moving the rest of his body, I knew something else was coming. And then he lifted the dictionary at the corner of his desk and threw it at me. Hard, where I saw his lips pull back with effort. Note, pull back. Oil and tempera on clayboard, small. Painting with tempera is never a good idea.
That excerpt was courtesy of Penguin Audio. Talk to me about adding this element to the text.
Okay, so this element of the text actually has a story behind it. What happened was, there was a initial conception of this book, which was just like it, the title was the real catalog, and it was Ava taking it all into her own hands from the banal bureaucratic administrators who run the museums or the galleries or whatever who were going to reduce it. And then that whole thing went away for maybe 2 or 3 years. The catalog idea went away. It was always in my head, but it went away. And I can't explain why. I think I thought that that was all scaffolding. That was unnecessary. I didn't need it. And then I've told the story before. Basically, the novel was about to go to press, and I drove out to this beach. I'm a terrible driver, so it was like the whole way it was reckless. I don't even know why I did it, but there was an urge to see really rough water. I live in New York City along the East River. I wanted like rough, big waves along a cliff, et cetera, the drama of it. And I wasn't going to bring my phone, but at the last minute, I was like, okay, I'll do it. And then I was walking down the beach. Again, the book is about to go to press. I call my editor and I just have this, like, there have to be footnotes. I have to have footnotes. It has to still be a catalog. I'm going to change the introduction to the book, which is the last thing they want you to touch. I'm going to add footnotes into all of these pages and transform the raison d'etre, like the entire concept of it, if that's okay with you. And of course, my editor, who is brilliant and amazing and encouraging and all the other things, was like, okay, that sounds good. We can do that. So I went home. I just ended up changing the first paragraph and then little sprinkles throughout and wrote all of the footnotes maybe in 1 or 2 nights less and sent those into the editor, chose the words that were going to be associated with the paintings, and there it is. So close to press, my heart still has palpitations, but it was there, went away, came back. That's how those happened.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Beth Golay.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Each morning, It's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.